Yeah, it's Groundhog Day, Super Bowl Day, Communion Day. What's the Palindrome Day? We thank God for Jesus Day. Every day is Jesus Day.
That's right, every day.
Amen. So we love you, Lord. We praise you. We're going to talk about the awesome new covenant as we're receiving communion today. Great subject to talk about, the new covenant. The awesome new covenant is compared to the old covenant. So, Father, we praise you. We thank you. We are so grateful for the new covenant. I mean, even though the old covenant was awesome because you chose a nation, you chose a people, you brought them into fellowship with you, you showed them how to have worship services and ceremonies and rituals to take away sin so they could stay in fellowship with you. But Lord, I sure am glad that I wasn't part of that. I'm so grateful for the new covenant, that there's one sacrifice. We don't have to sacrifice hundreds and thousands of lambs and bulls and goats and blood, see blood everywhere and burn parts of the animals and all those things. Although they have a significance and they are types and shadows of what the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate high priest, that Jesus himself would do. They just pointed us to Jesus to show that eventually that he would come as promised through the prophets, the only one who could take away our sins permanently, who could make us born again, new creatures, the only one who could make us permanently holy, who could present us spotless and blameless before your throne. Amen. So we thank you for that, Jesus. And that's all because of the new covenant. And not only that, but that you would not only save us from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin by making us new creations and putting the Holy Spirit within us. The promise was that when Jesus would finish his work to take care of our sins, to pay the price and penalty for our sins, that you would raise him from the dead and take him to heaven, and you promised to pour out the Holy Spirit upon all your people so that we could have your laws, your words written in our hearts and in our minds, so that we'd have the power to live righteous lives for you and represent you here on earth. So we just thank you for all that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. The awesome new covenant. What is a covenant? Well, a covenant is simply a contract or agreement between two parties to mutually do something for each other. When a covenant's made between men, we understand it to be that agreement or a compact by which the two parties bind themselves and each the other to the fulfillment of certain conditions. So when you have a party between, you know, a covenant between men, they both agree, hey, you know, I'm not going to send my people to kill you, or I'm not going to send my people to destroy your wells or take all your food or destroy your crops, and you do the same. You make sure your people stay away from any of those things and don't do any of those things to my people. So they would sit down, they would cut a covenant, usually with animals, cut animals apart. There was always the cutting of a covenant always included blood and the slaying of animals. And it also always usually included a meal together, which we're going to have our covenant meal here today. When we take communion, it really is similar to having a covenant meal with each other. But we're talking about a contract between God and man, not between man and man. So when we speak of a covenant of God with men, there's a huge difference that needs to be understood. In this case, there's no natural equality between the parties. Usually the two parties are equal that are making the covenant. Well, there's no equality. We're not equal with God. And we really have nothing to offer God. In fact, the way that a covenant goes between God and man, God wills and man must obey. Why? Because sinful man has nothing to offer back to God. Which is exactly what the old covenant is. The old covenant was based on conditions. God said, if you do A, B, C, and D, I'll do this. You know, if you'll keep my commandments, then I'll give you rain, you'll have a harvest, you'll have material blessings, you'll have some spiritual blessings, you'll have health, you'll have this, you'll have that. But if you don't do that, then I will send my judgment upon you. Papa will break out the judgment belt and whip and start and put you in judgment until you repent and come back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. Actually, not only would he just bring judgment, but he said, if you didn't do what I tell you to do, not only would it bring discipline sometimes, but it would bring what? Death. You'll die. So really, the old covenant was a covenant of, Paul called it the ministration of death, or the ministration of condemnation. Sounds horrible, but still, really, the old covenant, as I prayed earlier, was awesome. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 3. He said, the old covenant was glorious, had glory, but the new covenant is that he calls the covenant of the Spirit, the covenant of, not covenant of common condemnation, but the covenant of righteousness. Amen? So he said, if the first one had glory, then this one is much more glorious, much more awesome. And we know that it is. So what needed to be done in order to establish this covenant? And this is really, the new covenant, I believe, is so awesome, not just because of the things, the benefits we receive from it, but I think the new covenant is so awesome because of how it was implemented, who established it, who ratified it, who accomplished it, who was the one who would do all this for us. Because the new covenant, as I said, you really couldn't, it's not like we made this covenant with God, okay? The new covenant was really what? The new covenant was between who? The Father and the Son. So if you think about it, they're the only ones who were equal to each other, who could say, okay, if you do this, do this, do this, and do this, then the Father God says to Jesus, if you go down there, if you're willing to take on a body, go down there and shed your blood for them, die for them as a sacrifice, I'll raise you from the dead to show that I accepted your sacrifice, right? Not only that, but I will pour out, I'll send the promise of the Holy Spirit. So you can see the mutual covenant, right? Because only Jesus could do that. Only the God-man Jesus would be equal enough with God to actually cut a covenant with him. So let's go on and see. That's exactly what he did. We needed a great high priest whose ministry was far greater than any other priest to be our mediator of a better covenant, which was established on what? On better promises. It's an awesome. So God sent the perfect person to do the job for us, his Son, the Son of Man, and the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to look at the book of Hebrews. We're just going to go through a few chapters in the book of Hebrews, because Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, really explains, I believe, more in depth and clearer than any other book, what the difference is between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We're going to start in chapter 7, verse 26. So we needed a new high priest. A perfect high priest, one that was greater than Aaron, Melchizedek, or any other priest that ever was before. So Hebrews 7:26 says, Jesus is exactly the kind of high priest we need. Why? Because he has no sin in him. He's pure. He's not influenced by sinners. And he has already been raised above the heavens. Go to chapter 8 now. Chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Here is the point of what we're saying. We now have a high priest like that, who sits on the right side of God's throne in heaven. Our high priest serves in the most holy place. He serves in the true place of worship that was made by God, not by anyone here on earth. So, we see in the new covenant that Jesus, when Jesus went and gave his blood and put his blood on the mercy seat, when he sacrificed his body and gave himself as an offering, he was not doing, although he was here on earth, the final transactions of that took place not in the temple here on earth, but in the true temple in heaven, the true tabernacle that is in heaven, the true mercy. He went into not the Holy of Holies that was set up in the tent there in the tabernacle, but he went into the actual Holy of Holies that's in heaven and put his blood on the mercy seat there for us. That's what he's saying there. Verse 6. And because of that, it says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. It's a better covenant. Why? Because it's founded on better promises. As I mentioned earlier, the first covenant was the covenant of the law, and it promised blessing, but what? Only if you're obedience, only for obedience. But it threatened death and discipline for disobedience. It required righteousness, but it didn't give anybody the ability to produce it. Right? It required, God said, do everything right, and I'll bless you. But they still had sinful hearts. They still didn't have transformed hearts. So they couldn't actually produce what he wanted them to do all the time. But the new covenant is an unconditional covenant of grace. Thank God for his amazing grace. Amen? Doesn't depend on us. It's all him. He says, I will do it. I will do it. It's a covenant of grace. It's a covenant of love. As I said, it's a covenant of righteousness. And it is the covenant of the Holy Spirit, you can actually say, too. And in grace, that means God imputes his righteousness. He gives his righteousness. He takes all of our sin, all of our ugliness out of our account, and he puts his righteousness in our account. That's what it means to impute. That's an accounting term. He puts it, his righteousness, he gives us his righteousness where we had absolutely none before. And it teaches men to live righteously, but it also empowers us to do it now. Why? Because the main promise of the new covenant is, I will send my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and I will write my laws on your heart and on your mind. So not only does the new covenant teach us to live righteously, empowers us to do so, and it rewards us when we do it. Isn't that awesome? He gives us the grace. He tells us how to live righteously. He empowers us gives us the power to live righteously for him, and then he rewards us for doing it. And he's the one doing it all. That's awesome. He's a good God. He's a great, great God. Let's go to Hebrews 9, chapter 9. Verse 1 says, the first covenant had rules for worship and a place made for worship as well. And it had all kinds of furniture in it, it goes on to say the next few verses. But then Paul says, and they all have great meaning. All those pieces of furniture actually have a great meaning, a type of what they're about. But Paul says, we don't have time to go into that. So go to verse 6, where he talks about what the high priest does. The priests go into the outer tent every day to perform their duties, but only the high priest goes into the inner tent. And he does so only once a year. He takes with him blood, which he offers to God on behalf of himself and for the sins which the people have committed without knowing that they were sinning. The Holy Spirit clearly teaches from all these arrangements that the way into the most holy place has not yet been opened as long as the outer tent still stands. This is an example for us today. It shows that the gifts and sacrifices the priests offer to God are not able to make the consciences of the worshipers completely clear. These gifts and sacrifices are only about food and drink and special washings. They're only rules about your body. God gave them for his people to follow until the time of the new way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But Christ has already come to be the high priest. He is the high priest of the good things we have now. But Christ does not serve in a place like the tent that those other priests served in. He serves in a better place. Unlike that tent, this one is perfect. It was not made by anyone here on earth. It does not belong to this world. You see, the old covenant was really more about material blessings. It was more about earthly things. The focus of the new covenant is spiritual. It's all about the spiritual, the true spiritual life that he wants to give us. That's why Hebrews continues to just constantly say, he offered himself up for sin. He offered himself up for sin. He offered himself up for sin. Why? Because the spiritual problems in our life are what usually mess up all the material things in our life, right? It's sin that messes up everything else in your life. That's why Jesus came to deal specifically with getting rid of sin forever. The penalty of sin and the power of sin, and putting the Holy Spirit in us so we could live righteously for him. And we could hear his voice. We could know what to do. We could follow him. Christ entered the most holy place, here we go, only one time and enough for all time. I love that. He entered the most holy place by using his own blood, not the blood of goats or young bulls. He entered there and made us free from sin forever. So surely the blood sacrifice of Christ can do much more than those old sacrifices. Christ offered himself through the eternal Spirit as a perfect sacrifice to God. Only his blood will make us completely clean from the evil that we have done. It will give us clear consciences. Why? So that we can learn to serve, truly serve the living God. It will set us free from dead works, the King James says, to serve the living God. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant. Hallelujah. Christ brings a new agreement from God to his people. He brings this agreement so that those who are chosen by God can have the blessings that God promised, blessings that last forever. They're eternal. And this can happen only because Christ died to free people from sins committed against the commands of the first agreement. Because we know that the first agreement, the first covenant, was the covenant of death. It was the law. It only brought condemnation. And it was intended to make us see that we were sinful and that where we stood before God, so that we would realize we need that new covenant. We need that awesome new covenant. We need the new high priest. We need Jesus to save us. The old laws, as Steve mentioned about his friend today, well, I believe I'm a good person. I believe I'm good enough. I believe I've done this. I believe I've done that. So I know I'm going to heaven. No. No matter what rules you keep, no matter what regulations you keep, whether it's the rules of Judaism or the moral law of the land or whatever it is, you will not get into heaven. That will not take away your sin. It will not deal with the sin issue. That's why we needed Jesus. That's why God sent his only son into the world to be the great high priest and the sacrifice. He not only is he the high priest, but he is the sacrifice himself. He offered himself up for our sins. He is everything about the new covenant. Let's go to verse 24 and 25. We're still in chapter 9 there. Verse 24 and 25. Christ went into the most holy place, but it was not the man-made one, which is only a copy of the real one. He went into heaven, and he is there now, right now, and he now appears on our behalf in the presence of God to help us. Hallelujah. Let's go to chapter 10 now. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll start in verse 5. For this reason, when Christ was about to come into the world, he said to God, "You do not want sacrifices and offerings, but you've prepared a body for me. You're not pleased with animals burned whole on the altar or with sacrifices to take away sins. Then I said," this is Jesus talking to the Father, "here I am to do your will, O God, just as it is written of me in the book of the law. First, he said, you neither want nor are you even pleased with sacrifices and offerings or with animals burned on the altar and the sacrifices to take away sins. He said this even though all these sacrifices are offered according to the law. Then he said again, here I am, O God, here I am, Father, to do your will. So God does away with the old sacrifices and puts the sacrifice of Christ in their place. So there you get a picture of the covenant of the Father and Son doing covenant talk. He's talking to the Father, saying, Father, here I am, you know. No other man can cut this covenant with you, but I can do it. You've prepared a body for me. Let me go and do it. I will do your will because I know I'm the only one. Those old sacrifices, it says God didn't even like them. It didn't even please. God had no pleasure in killing all those goats and bulls and watching them be burned and all that stuff. It worked because we know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. That was why God implemented it, so that they could have their sins forgiven, so that they could stay in close fellowship with him. But it's awesome that the Father and Son loved all of us, loved the whole world so much that they got together and they talked and they worked out this awesome new covenant to save us permanently and forever from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin. But the only way it could be done is if Jesus would take on a human body like ours and be willing to sacrifice himself. Have his body ripped open for us and his blood shed for us and die for us so that we could be born, that we could have our sins forgiven and have the gift of eternal life and be brought back into relationship with him. He is so awesome. And here we go. Because Jesus did what God wanted him to do, covenant, we are all purified from sin by the offering that he made of his own body once and for all. That's why it's so, I'm focusing on the awesome new covenant, but I'm also focusing on these verses in Hebrews 10 because it keeps mentioning the purpose of the body and the blood. So while we're receiving communion, we understand that it wasn't just through the blood of Jesus that we're sins are taken care of. It always mentions the body and the blood. Did you see what it just said? Because Jesus did what God wanted him to do, we're all purified from sin by the offering that he made of his own body once and for all. So it is his body and his blood that purifies us, that cleanses us. So, you know, when we're receiving communion, that's what we're confessing. That's what we're proclaiming. We know that Jesus, that you made a covenant, an awesome covenant with Father God. There was no other way for us to be saved from our sins except through your body and your blood. And that's why Jesus told them in the New Testament, whenever you do this, you're doing it in remembrance of me. The only thing he asks of us when we do that is to do it in remembrance of him. He takes care of everything else. Every Jewish priest performs his services every day and offers the same sacrifices many times, but these sacrifices can never take away sins. Christ, however, offered one sacrifice for sins, and his offering is effective forever. And then he sat down at the right side of God, which just simply means work is done. The work is done. The high priest work is done. He can sit down now with his Father. Doesn't have to go get more blood, more bulls and goats, and he doesn't have to go sacrifice himself over and over again. Doesn't happen. It's completely finished. He can sit down now because he has won the victory for us. There he now waits until God puts his enemies as a footstool under his feet. With one sacrifice, then, he has made perfect forever those who are purified from sin, are those whom he is making holy. And the Holy Spirit also gives us his witness. First, he says, this is the covenant that I will make with them in the days to come, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds. And then he says, I will not remember their sins or unrighteous deeds or evil deeds any longer. Hallelujah. When you come to Jesus, all of your sins are taken care of. That's how powerful his sacrifice is and what he did on the cross for us with his body and blood. Past, present, and future sins. You don't have to worry about going back to a priest. Many of the religions still teach now you have to go confess your sins to a priest. They're the only ones who can absolve your sins. It's really just taking you back to the old covenant. Like you still need a high priest. You don't have to do that. You still need to go to God and confess your sins to God. Tell him you're sorry for if you do something wrong, just to renew and heal your relationship with him so that your relationship stays strong with him. Because believe me, the devil will still try to heap condemnation and guilt upon you all the time. But remember, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. There's conviction from the Holy Spirit. He's telling you, hey, there's something, you did something wrong and you really need to talk to your father about this and get this straightened out. That's conviction. But the devil will say, look, and I've actually had a few conversations with some people who think, can I lose my salvation? You know, did I do this wrong? Is he going to forgive me for that? Of course he is. Don't let the devil ever tell you that he's not. You need to stand on the word. The word of God, what the word of God tells you, right? With one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are purified from sin. And so, brothers and sisters, we are completely free to enter the most holy place. We can do this without fear because of the blood sacrifice of Jesus. He's opened for us a new way, a living way. Again, listen to this. Through the curtain, that is, through his own body. Talks about the body there again. Jesus' body was literally ripped open, torn open for us, just like it was the curtain, like the veil was being removed so that we could enter into the Holy of Holies through his body. And then the next verse says, we have a great high priest in charge of the house of God. Sprinkled with the blood of Christ, our hearts have been made free from a guilty conscience and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So come near to God with a sincere heart full of confidence because of our faith in Christ. So not only do we now have forgiveness of sins, the power over sin, but we have access to God ourselves. Each individual has access to God 24/7. We can come into the Holy of Holies, into his presence. He lives in us, and he dwells with us, and we can have that fellowship with him every day of our life now. That's an incredible benefit of the awesome new covenant. Let us hold firmly to the hope that we profess because we can trust God to keep his promise. He is faithful. Let us not be concerned, and let us learn to be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more since you see that the day of the Lord is coming nearer. So as we've shared and taken time to share some of the details of the new covenant, just remember this. This is what I want us to keep in view and to keep in our hearts. Never lose sight of why the new covenant is so awesome. And that is because Jesus himself is the whole of the covenant. Actually, in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 5 through 7, Father God tells him, I'm going to give you as a covenant. Isaiah 42, chapter 5. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. This is covenant talk. He knows, the Father knows what Jesus is going to have to go through, but he's telling him, I've called you in righteousness. I'll hold your hand through everything that you go through. I'll be there with you. I'm going to hold your hand through it. I will keep you, and I will give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, and those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Hallelujah. Thank you for Jesus. The awesome new covenant was formed by Father God and Jesus in the eternal councils before the world began. It was established by Jesus during the time that he lived on earth. To him alone, God entrusted the whole plan. Gave the whole plan and entrusted it to his son Jesus. By him, the whole agreement has been fulfilled. All the blessings of it are in his almighty hands. And from him who sits at the right hand of his Father on high, the river of grace flows to all the world. And all who receive him are promised to be with him in glory forever. So we, his people, declare today that the Lord Jesus, in his own person, as the God-man mediator, not only established and signed the new covenant with his body and blood, but that he is the one full and complete covenant. He's the messenger. He's the administrator. He's the ratifier. He's the head of the covenant. He's the surety of the covenant, which means, surety means he's the cosigner. In other words, you know what a cosigner is. If you can't pay it, he'll pay it for you. That's what the word surety means. He is the cosigner. He knew we'd never be able to pay for our own sins, but praise God, he paid it for us. Amen? He is the substance of the whole covenant. Precious Lord Jesus, we praise God. We say hallelujah, Father God. Blessed be God who has given you to us as the covenant, to be the awesome new covenant for us, your children, and your people. And we take this day to remember as we receive communion, as we receive your body and blood. Help us, Holy Spirit, to remember all that has been accomplished for us, how awesome the new covenant is. Thank you for opening our blind eyes. Thank you for setting us free from the prison house of sin. Thank you for bringing us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you for filling us with the Holy Spirit to live a holy, righteous life for you now. Thank you for giving us access to you, Father God, through your body and your precious blood, Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and get ready to receive communion. If the ushers could pass out the body and the blood. Aren't you glad that you're part of the new covenant, the awesome new covenant? Thank you. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Jesus is so awesome. Oh, Holy Spirit, we worship you. We worship you. Thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that covenant promise. Hallelujah. Just take time to focus on the body, the blood of the Lord. Remember what he had to do to save us, to make us his children. Go ahead, pass out the blood too. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What an incredible plan of salvation. What an incredible covenant that you cut for us, Jesus. The plan of redemption that you and the Father and the Holy Spirit have come up with is just so amazing, so full of love, so full of grace. We thank you for the covenant of grace, Lord. We thank you for the law that brought us to the knowledge of sin, but we thank you for the covenant of grace where you said, I'm going to just do it. They may not deserve it. They haven't done anything to deserve it, but because I love them and because of my great love, I will make a way for them to be forgiven of their sins, to come back to me, into relationship with me, into fellowship with me. And I'll give them the power over sin. Give them my Holy Spirit so that they can live holy, righteous lives and be my people. Be filled with the gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, all the fruits of the Spirit to represent me. Lord, we thank you and we receive all of your blessings, and may we honor you and represent you and remember you today and all that you've done for us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Let's receive the body of the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you opened a new and living way for us through that curtain of the Holy of Holies. And that was through your own body. With your own body, you did that. When you were dying on that cross, that veil into the Holy of Holies was ripped wide open from top to bottom. But also your body, which represented that veil, we know was ripped wide open too. But by your stripes, we declare we are healed. By your wounds, you have borne all of our sicknesses, sorrows, pains, and sin. We thank you, Lord. And we thank you for your precious blood too. We know that you could not even go into the Holy of Holies unless you had that blood to go in there with and put on the mercy seat. We thank you that you didn't take the blood of bulls and goats, but you took your very own precious, sinless, perfect blood to put on that mercy seat to make propitiation for us, to take care of our sins so that we could now come into the presence of Almighty God, that we could be reunited with our Father in heaven, experience his presence, that we now can come into the secret place of the Most High every day of our life with him, because of what you did for us by going into the Holy of Holies with your blood and putting it on that mercy seat. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's receive the blood of Jesus together. When Jesus said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood," he was simply saying the only way that that covenant, that agreement, that plan could be put into place is if I signed this, that contract and that agreement and that covenant with my blood. He ratified it. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In other words, he made it effective when he signed it on his blood. And let me tell you, it is very effective. It is very powerful. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the new life that you have in Christ Jesus? Oh, I am so glad of it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I think it's a good time to worship him. Always a good time to worship him. But as we've taken time to focus on his body and his blood and remember all that he's done for us, let's worship him with all our hearts. All that's within us.